Texas.
That's so dumb.
Velger.
Oh, you idiot.
And Mass.
Holy crap.
Velger and Mass.
I hate that.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
Like, quickly, Mass, you want to reset your Mookie take for Chris Gasper, see what he thinks of it?
So there was a Mookie Betts last night when winning the MVP award, was asked about his long-term plans for Boston and said, right now, just focused on 2019 season, the 2019 season coming up. It's a great organization. I love being part of it. And the 2019 season is the most important coming up. I look at that and I say, why wouldn't you say, hey, I'd love to be here. We'll see what happens. Like, you know, I think Mookie's out of here. I do. I think
really?
Yeah, I do. I think in 2 years he's out of here. They've tried to sign him. They can't sign him. He's gone to arbitration. They've had to renew his contracts. It's like they can't agree on anything in terms of what his value is. And so I think in 2 years he's gone. Unless something dramatic changes here, he wants to go to the market. And guys who go to the market end up leaving.
Oh, so he'll leave because he'll get blown away by another offer, not that he doesn't want to play here.
Yep, no, the money's more important to him.
How do you feel about him playing here? How do you think he feels about playing here, Mass?
I think he's lukewarm on it, at best. I don't think he loves being here. I think he says he's, like the comment he made too, right? It's been amazing, talking about his experience in Boston thus far. It's been amazing, definitely a different part of the country, so I get to see a difference in how life goes. It's definitely been a great time being in Boston. Like, it's almost like...
Sounds a little forced.
Past tense. Like, he doesn't say, you know, it's been amazing. Nice to see the difference here and how people... I just don't think he's comfortable here. I don't think he likes it.
And so...
And when I say, you know what I mean, I don't think he hates it, but I don't think it'd be his first place to play.
But when he says stuff like that and you don't believe him, what's a term you would use, Maz, to sum up a player?
I would say he's a little bit of a con man, Murray. That's what I would say.
Con.
A little bit of a con man.
Swindler, a hustler.
And so
that seems strong.
A little strong.
A little bit.
Con man.
Well, what do you want me to do? You want me to soften it? That'll really do wonders for the ratings.
No, but I'm just saying, I mean, you know, to say that he's, there are a lot of people that feel obligated to tell people what they want to hear, not how they really feel. That doesn't mean that you're a con man.
No, it just means you're Kyrie Irving.
Okay, so do you think that's what Mookie's doing? Do you think he's saying what he thinks people want to hear?
He knows how stuff plays here. He's been here long enough to know that you have to be careful what you say publicly.
So do you think Maz is onto something that he may not love it here? That he's just
I think he's onto something there that, you know,
he's playing lip service to it.
He might not. That's why I asked him the question. Does Maz think it's about the money that he'll go to market and get blown away? Or is it about just wanting to get out of here?
Or isn't it both?
I don't know. I mean, it would have to be, to me, I think it's more one than the other. You know, I think he's played hardball with them in terms of the negotiations, hasn't loved the way that they've gone about it all the time in the past. If he wants to go to another part of the country or another market where it's more relaxed, I think that will be challenging for him to do that and still get paid. Like, you're not going to go to the Atlanta Braves and get paid $400 million on a contract. That's not happening. If you want to get paid, now look, you could do it, I guess, in L.A. You know, it's obviously more relaxed there. But most of the places where you're going to get paid are bigger markets. Yeah. It's Philadelphia. It's New York. It's Boston.
How about Washington?
Even Chicago. Washington.
Chicago.
I don't know their financial.
No,
they asked. You know, they offered $300 million to Harper.
Well, so anyway, here's the second piece to it. If you think Mookie Betts is a flight risk, aren't you best to get ahead of it and trade him now before you lose him for nothing?
You still have this window, though, this championship window with your team. And look, you won one. That's fantastic. You know, mission accomplished. But you could still win another one next year, and you'd still be in a position. He's a free agent, 2021?
2 more years.
Yeah, so
after the
2020 season. So really, you know, that 2020 offseason, I think you could go another year, and then if you feel like he's a flight risk at that point, you have other guys you have to sign, then you move him at that point.
See, but his value comes down a lot next offseason, because then whoever acquires him is only getting him for a year, and how much are you really going to give up when you can just wait a year and sign him as a free agent? Like, you know, and I'm not, again, I don't think they're going to do
this. So you want to trade the MVP, pretty much.
I'm just telling you, if you're the Red Sox and someone were to make you some good offer, you'd have to consider it.
Well, what's a good offer? Is it a bunch of prospects?
Murray?
Is it another Yoan Moncada?
No. Murray?
Say the Mets would want to move Jacob deGrom or Noah Syndergaard, one of those two guys, like a young frontline pitcher.
Sure.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
What's the contract situation for DeGrom and Syndergaard?
No, they're both very favorable. They're good. So the Mets probably wouldn't do that because they have them under, you know, long. Yeah. They have them in terms of term and money. So they probably wouldn't do it, but it is the Mets. They're stupid.
Look, the bottom line is, and I know people are going to hate me for this, but I think Mookie's a little overrated. Okay, he had a great year. He had a fabulous, he's a terrific player, but I don't think he's the kind of middle of the order bat or presence that completely changes a franchise.
No, I think you're Andrew McCutchen. Is pretty spot on.
I mean, that's the guy people compared him to when he first came
out. That's true. They did. And McCutchen won an MVP, right?
Yeah.
What's he doing now?
Not much.
At age 31.
Just roster filler for the Yankees.
I don't know. Call me. I guess I'm not negative enough. I'm not looking to trade the MVP. I'm sorry. I'm not.
Do you like those postseason numbers?
No, they were bad. But I think he's finally off the schneid with the home run. Look, it only took 87 at-bats, but he finally got there. I think he'll break through like Price did.
They were leading that game.
Couple of calls
they
on
were.
This.
They were. No, I was on Mookie on that, not doing well in the postseason. But I'm not trading the MVP.
Well, but if he's gone for nothing, you have to get out ahead of it. You're just saying wait till next year, but you'll trade him next year. So you're really not that far.
Well, trade him
off,
at the deadline then if you want to move him. Like, so see how the season goes. See where you're at.
All right, so Maz,
and if you're having a terrible year and he doesn't want to sign.
So how crazy is Maz?
And Chris Sale needs, you know, Tommy John. Then you can look. Well, that's different. That's different than let's trade him right now.
Yeah, but you're not convinced he wants to be here either.
I'm not, but I'm also not. I'm not trading away the MVP when I have a team that's built to win now, that's going into the last year of a 3-year window, has one title in the bank, and I can win another title. I'll worry about tomorrow. I'm not trading the MVP.
Tyler, New Hampshire, what do you think?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good.
Just a quick thing on Mookie Betts. I think that Mookie is by far the greatest MVP on the Red Sox.
Tyler, I can't.
This really isn't a question about, well, it is a little
Who would
bit.
You vote for MVP on the team, Chris?
On the team? Yep. What do you mean?
Who would be their MVP for the team?
Alex Cora.
Okay, player, please.
Okay. JD Martinez.
There you go.
Why were you so reluctant to do that?
Because I know where you're going. You're leading the witness. You're walking me down a path.
I'm not walking anything.
You're walking me down a path.
I'm not walking away.
But
if you agree with Maz that middle of the order bat is really the value, and Mookie Betts is going to get a contract that pays like that, he may not even want to be here, then it's just smart to get out ahead of it, isn't it?
Well, I guess it depends. I mean, look, it's hard because you're talking about I don't want to trade the MVP. Now, look, if suddenly you're telling me like, oh, Tampa Bay just called, yeah, you can have Blake Snell and you know somebody else, then that's a little different. But it's just this nebulous deal and we don't know, and it's going to be these unknown prospects coming back.
These things like trading the MVP, like who cares if he won the MVP?
I know, but of course it wouldn't be a nebulous deal. The question is this, okay, keep it in its simplest form. Do you think Mookie Betts wants to be here? And if not, wouldn't it be prudent to at least consider moving him?
Jay and Grafton, what do you think?
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. I think Mookie's a flight risk, and I would consider moving him. What I wanted to know is, what do you guys think a reasonable return would be for Mookie in a trade deal? I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, so is it for major league players, or would you restock your system with that kind of trade?
I'd try to do a little bit of both. I mean, I'd go get myself some pitching. You have nothing in the system. So I think you can always, you know, get yourself some hitting or some offense on the market. Pitchers are a little tougher because you end up overpaying for them and then they get hurt. So go get yourself some young pitching if you can do that. And then if you want to pick up an outfielder that you can plug in and play every day, and he's not going to be a 30-30 guy, but then I would get that too. I would try to replace him on some level, you know, 70% of him if you can, and get myself some pitching to put in the system. That's what I would do.
Okay, final word for Gasper. What does Celtics do tonight?
I think they'll respond. I think they'll play better than they did in the first one against Toronto. Obviously, it's on their court. NBA teams tend to... This is one of those games you get up for. You sort of remember, you know, the slog of 82. It's like, okay, these guys handed it to us the last time. You know, let's come out with a response. So I don't think they're going to get their doors blown off. I think it'll be a good game, close game. They'll pull it out at the end.
Okay, no Gasper and Murray tomorrow? Just Murray and Murray
Just
tomorrow?
Murray.
Just Murray. That's me.
Okay. Gasper, have a good week. Have a happy Thanksgiving
you
if we don't
too.
Talk to you. All right, we'll talk to you not next Friday. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks, pal.
That's right.
See you, Chris.
See ya.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Will Mookie Betts still be a Red Sox by then? Who knows?
Will Kyrie Irving still be a member of the Celtics?
Not if Mazin and Stu have any say with this. They're all gone. More of your calls, I promise, right after this. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
You're listening to Felger and Nas.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Last four times, and now this one incomplete. Four of the last five, now five of the last six on third down against Aaron Rodgers.
Well, not a good possession there for Aaron Rodgers. That's first down, he had a chance for an easy completion over the ball. Third down, an easy completion in the flat for a first down, and he misses wildly.
What a choke by Aaron Rodgers on that throw. What a gag. Wide open, easy throw, and he dirts it right at his feet. Packers 3-for-11 on third down last night. Rodgers himself was 2-for-10 throwing. He picked up one on a scramble. The other 10, 2-for-10. And the two completions, one was he baited Seattle offsides and got a free play. And the other was that 57-yard bomb to Devontae Adams, which I'm sorry, was amazing but also lucky. The rest, nothing. Sacks or incompletions. And people are blaming McCarthy today. People get frustrated by that. Aaron Rodgers never getting blamed for anything. They're justified today. McCarthy sucks, and he sucked again last night. I'm not telling you he was good. But Aaron Rodgers has the ball in his hand. He has guys open, and he chucks it at the guy's feet on third and two, 5 minutes left in the ballgame. Oh, please. That guy, Rodgers needs a major reset. That guy is...
Bad body language on him, too.
Well, so that's what Maz has been talking about. He's not confident. He's not confident in what's around him. And so, but you know what? Suck it up, dude. How much are they paying you? They're not paying you to succumb to everything around you. They're paying you to lead everything and improve everything around you.
Right. Fight through it.
Good God. So that whole operation, he needs a reset big time. He needs a coach that he'll listen to. Now, if he's not listening to coaching, that's on him. He deserves a lot of blame for that. What a fake 128 quarterback rating that was last night. 128 quarterback rating, which is a great rating, right? And the highlights you see from those long touchdown throws, those, you know, it was spectacular. Fake. What a fake night. He sucked. And his game management sucks. So there's the Aaron Rodgers take after last night. We have a little bit of breaking news for you on the Red Sox.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So just minutes ago on Twitter from Jeff Passan, MLB reporter for Yahoo Sports, Steve Pearce and the Boston Red Sox have agreed on a 1-year, $6.25 million deal.
Can I go first?
Yeah.
I hate it. Doesn't Steve Pearce grow on trees?
Pretty much.
Can't you find any veteran righty who floats around the league and hits left-handed pitching?
Yeah. So I don't hate it. I don't love it. And I know that sounds crazy, and that's wishy-washy, and it's in the middle.
You like the player. You've always liked the player.
I like the player. I do. I think he's a serviceable player. And I'm happy that it's a 1-year deal. So, honestly, I think Pierce is underselling himself. His last contract was a 2-year contract for $12.5 million. Now he's only getting one for half that, and he's coming off the World Series MVP and killing left-handed pitching while he was here. So I know he's 35, but it tells me he wanted to stay, and so he took the 1 year from the Red Sox. So he's a good fit for them. I feel like they're spending probably $3 or $4 million more than they need to, because, again, they picked him up in the middle of the year, and they paid him under $2 million, right? They got what they needed out of it.
I just think there's a payroll crunch there.
Feels that way.
And, you know, this doesn't impact the Betts Bradley stuff, because that's 2-3 years down the road. But still, there is a little bit of a salary thing, and they're right up against it last year. They're going to be right up against it this year. So I think that utility, I'm going to say utility, you know, not everyday starter, platoon, right-handed hitter is something you go cheap on.
Yeah, it's a little high for that spot. It is. Again,
maybe it means they value his defense at first base. I mean, he was lights out there, especially during the World Series.
They got 3 months of him for like 1.8.
Yeah.
Right?
Is steep. It does seem steep.
So I just think that you go out and get the next Steve Pearce.
Right.
That's all.
Right.
Like, so, again, I don't – now, the fact that it's a 1-year deal softens the blow for me. That's why I say I don't hate it. So if it were a two-year deal, I'd say it's a mistake. You shouldn't have given this guy 2 years. And I'm surprised he took one. But again, you know, he grew up a Red Sox fan. Maybe he wants to stay here. Like, I'm not pissed off. I think he'll help them all with that. But if this ends up becoming a factor in their pursuit of a reliever, well, then I don't like it.
Right, exactly. That's how I look at it. Fine player. And if it were unlimited funds, fine. But there, you know, there is a give and take there with that luxury tax.
Well, a little more insight into why they did it. Pass and followed this up with Red Sox want to keep the core of their championship team intact. This is the first move aimed at doing so. Still on their target list, Nathan Eovaldi.
So, I'd rather go Eovaldi first and then see what I have left over and then give it to Pierce. That's what I would do.
So Evaldi's going to have a bigger market, right? There are going to be more teams lined up for him, so that one's probably going to take a little longer. Of course, in baseball, everything takes a little longer. You know how that goes. So Eovaldi, to me, should be their priority of the guys that they have leaving. I think, you know, I think Kimbrel's gone. I think that Joe Kelly's probably gone because someone's going to overpay for him. But then even beyond Eovaldi, I want another reliever. I mean, you're losing Kelly and you're losing Kimbrel. So Eovaldi, I'd prefer be in the starting rotation at the beginning of the year. And I want a reliever for the bullpen. So, and it doesn't have to be a closer, but I want someone for that bullpen.
Okay, back to your thought.
Preferably a lefty.
This, Patriots, the football game last night, if you want, Pete in Delaware has been waiting patiently on the NBA and the drama surrounding the Warriors, the Celtics, just NBA drama in general. Pete, thanks for hanging on.
Hey, guys. One, I think the NBA teams need to invest in a psychiatrist that can be with the teams at all times. Because these coaches have way too much to handle. And second point, Kyrie's Irving, about the 15-year veteran, I find it funny that the timing, it was made after Tyson Chandler went to the Lakers after he was dropped by the Suns, and they've been winning ever since. And it just seems like Kyrie, whatever LeBron gets, he wants. And by the way, Tyson Chandler doesn't need the ball to make an impact.
So maybe that was the timing. I think it was he had just walked out of the locker room after Marcus Smart lit into the team. And Kyrie Irving doesn't like Marcus Smart or doesn't want Marcus Smart being that guy or something in that space, not what else was around the league. I don't think it was a Carmelo comment. I don't think it was a KD comment. I don't think it was a Tyson Chandler comment. I think it was him not liking what went on in that locker room right after that Portland game.
I mean, he said on the second day or the next day, he said it wasn't about any specific player out there. And I believe him. But I think it was a commentary on the players they have in the room.
Definitely has to be.
And so I look at that and say, and I also think it's a commentary on him. Kyrie doesn't want to be the bad guy. He thought LeBron was an a-hole. Now he wanted his own team. And the problem is that if you want your own team, there are going to be times where you have to be an a-hole.
Dreds in the car. Go ahead, Dreds.
Oh, hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
So one thing I got to say is everybody's talking about trading Kyrie possibly. I heard for maybe Embiid or maybe a Davis. One person I definitely wouldn't trade for is Mike Sajra. That guy is a bum.
Okay, Dreds or whatever way to get that in. Brian in Rhode Island on the Celts. Hi, Brian.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So with the Celtics, man, Kyrie is just not getting it done. I think that what's-his-face could get done better. Their backup.
Okay, so I'm just going to let you go because I don't think you're fully prepared for it. Kyrie's not getting it done. He's your best player, and on the floor, he's brilliant.
I mean, ever since Tommy called him out, he's been good.
Ever since Tommy said he was fat, he's gotten his ass in gear and he's been great. And on the floor, he's spectacular, impeccable.
I actually think he's been half decent on the defensive end. Now, I said half decent. There are times where he's just, you know, he doesn't dig in. But there are other times where he gets back and sticks his hands in there and he's making steals.
My question is the chemistry mix, because that's one of the few things that can trip this team up, right? We all agreed it was going to be egos and fit and chemistry and things of that nature, and that's my concern with Kyrie. Can Kyrie fit in chemistry-wise, whether he's the leader or not, or whether he approves of the leader or not? And just the way he talks, again, I will go to a comment he made to Mike Krzyzewski on a podcast that's, I guess, going to be posted next week, but an excerpt was published today on Boston.com. Get a load of this quote. This is, I mean, there's a lot of NBA diva, ego-driven, you know, stuff. This, even by NBA standards, is a little much. So I guess Krzyzewski asks him about this, you know, fitting in early on in the season, getting all these new players integrated and everyone finding their role and everything. And picking up from the story, Irving said he planned to lead by example on both ends of the floor, although that desire required sacrificing certain elements of his individual game. Quote,
I'm laughing because I forgot I'd go.
It took a lot of attention away from my offensive repertoire. For me personally, he said. Repertoire. Quote, I don't want to dim down how special I am or how special I can be. I wanted to elevate the guys around me first to see through to make sure that they're comfortable and then have myself come along. I didn't want to dim down how special I am.
I mean, that's right out of the LeBron James handbook.
Or how special I can be. Whew. Like, that is...
Me, special, special, wow. I
want
me,
to dim my. Down how special I am or how special I can be. I wanted to elevate the guys around me first.
You know, now that I think of it, though, I do feel that way myself sometimes here on the Felger and Mass Show. Like, it does require me to subjugate my ego and my considerable talents.
So my concern with Kyrie is off the court, and not that he's a bad off the court. Like, he's a hardworking pro. Like, I'm just talking about... Boy, he is.
Full of himself.
Woo!
Oh, is he ever.
Wow.
Like
I said before, sometimes Kyrie just quit while you're just zip it, dude.
Read the last part again. I want to hear that again. It requires me to what? To dim myself? Like, because I'm so bright. I am the brightest. I am the shiniest star in the sky.
I didn't want to dim down how special I am.
How special I am. I'm special.
It took a lot of attention away from my offensive repertoire. For me, personally. Like, that for me personally is just a little superfluous, but it's like, it's a how many me's and I's and personally. It took a lot of attention away from me. It took a lot of attention away from my offensive repertoire for me personally. I didn't want to dim down how special I am or how special I can be. I wanted to elevate the guys around me first to see through, to make sure that they're comfortable, and then have myself come along.
Because I'm a giving person.
It's just, it's a bad look considering all the things that he said about LeBron James, and it's felt like at him as incredibly insufferable, and he's doing the same thing that LeBron is doing.
Totally. This was one of my concerns, is that he doesn't know any different. He thinks that that's how it's done when you're a great player in that league.
No, I told you before what this guy needs. Ball gag. Ball gag.
I mean, anytime someone starts talking about their quote-unquote repertoire... Like, that is a dead giveaway that, boy, do you sound like an a-hole.
You take yourself a little too seriously.
Oh, my God,
sir.
Yeah. You know, I've been thinking about this, Murray, you know, between the reads, some of the baseball content and the bits we do, I'd like to expand my repertoire.
Here comes Murray's update. You'll hear a key piece of Murray's repertoire. As Bill Belichick says, go ask Tom this week. A Jim Murray special coming up right after his update.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Bill, is a guy like Josh Gordon getting like 12 targets and other guys like Hogan getting one? Is that the way you guys want things, or is it just how it happens?
Yeah, talked about this ad nauseum, Greg. Nothing's changed. We don't design passes to go to one guy unless it's a screen pass.
Do you think Tom was effective planning?
You'd have to ask Tom. Yeah, you'd have to ask Tom.
I don't know. You'll have to ask Tom. I don't know. You'll have to ask Tom. Go ask my quarterback why he's forcing balls to Josh. I don't know. You'll have to ask Tom. I wanted both him and Gronk gone. But now I'm stuck with them, and we've got a palace queue.
A mutiny, a queue, a patriot, a crew.
Gronk can't stay healthy. We've got to move on. Brady stepped in. Gronk's my guy. We can't make a move. Bob Kraft stepped in. Tommy's my guy.
I don't know. Why don't you go ask Tom? He's not really playing great. the tight end acts like he just doesn't really care. Maybe we'd be better if we could use footballs with less air. Go ask Tom why he now sucks and blows. It's getting hard to ignore. And his balls are floating in a most peculiar way. I miss my handsome Jimmy G every single day. He should be here, sitting on my warm lap, and not with some This team is a pile of poo, and there's nothing I can do.
Check beatbox. Beatbox is a special there, Murray.
You can do it to just about any song, really. There you go, man.
What song was that?
That was the end of the
Oh, okay. So it was the same song. I see. Yeah. I thought you were giving me a different song. I don't want... we have an intern from Harvard. So he's a smart kid.
Yeah, Tucker.
Except Tucker wants to go into sports radio. He likes sports radio. Does he...
Can't be that smart.
You go to Harvard to go to get into sports radio?
He'll be our boss in 2 years.
What, are you freaking stupid?
I like Tucker.
If you go to Harvard to buy us, fine. You're going to Harvard to be a sports radio guy? Like, what's your problem?
Tucker doesn't know yet, but he's going to be on the Bill Belichick conference call next week.
Because I ain't going down there to ask the question, but Tucker is going to be the one to go ask the question. So we figured this out. I need to know if Bill and Brady are still meeting Tuesday nights one-on-one. I want this question asked. None of the football writers are going to do it for me. Out of spite, probably.
All that we do for Bedard, he's not going to do it for us?
Exactly. Thank you. All we've done for Bedard in the Boston Sports Journal, he won't do it for us.
I mean, we've carried that website for a year and a half now.
That means I have to go down there and jump on the conference call, and I'm sorry.
No. Tucker's got a better chance than you do.
So we're going to send down Tucker, the intern.
Yeah. Hi, Bill. My name's Tucker. I work for the Felger and Maz show. And shut up, Bedard. I'm asking a question. My name's Tucker. And Felger wanted me to ask you, Bill. He wanted me to ask because he saw in the documentary, the Football Life documentary, that you and Brady like meet every Tuesday night to go over the game plan and chart plays and stuff. So he wanted me to ask you if you guys still meet on Tuesday. Felger wanted me to ask. Felger. So do you?
I need this question answered. Do they still meet, or has that gone by the wayside? Has that gone by the wayside? Like, I don't know, playing football in the spring. So Tucker, anyway, I didn't want his research to go to you. So I know Tucker's a future because he feeds our agendas with stats that support us, not stats that refute us. So the importance of tonight's Celtics game and having home court and this thing, which Celtics fans totally blow off. For some reason, I don't know. No, I do know, because you don't want to, like, even when they lose, you think they've won. Like, it just doesn't stick with you for some reason. Always looking on the bright side. But home court is exceptionally important in the NBA, and it's important for you. You haven't done squat unless you've been at home in the playoffs. Yes, you had a big road win at Philadelphia last year, but you had home court in that series. And you've never won with Brad Stevens unless you've had home court. You've never won as a lower seed, which is like most teams. That doesn't make any different than anybody else except for LeBron or the Warriors. But most teams need home court, but don't make any mistakes. You do too. Tucker has let me know that in the Celtics' last 20 road games, nice even line. He didn't draw it to make it better or worse. Maybe he did, I don't know. But 20 games this year, last year's playoffs, last year's regular season. Guess how many wins they have in the last 20 road games?
Six.
Five.
Yeah, I was going to say three.
Wow.
They're 5-15. Their plus minus in those 20 games is -128. That's an average of -6.4, which would rank 26th in the NBA this season.
Wow.
They're not a great road team, and they haven't been this whole run. Just haven't been. And in Toronto, you've lost your last 13. So why fans just blow off the standings or anything like that is just beyond me. It's important. You're 3.5 behind Toronto. If you lose tonight, you're 4.5 behind and you're 2 behind in the head-to-head tiebreaker, blah, blah, blah. Like, that starts to matter at some point.
And this team this year should be better than they have been. I mean, obviously, but really when you factor in the veteran presence, Kyrie has won on the road in the finals with the championship at stake. You know, Horford lost on the road a lot, but he's been around. Hayward's been around. Now, they got plenty of guys who've been around. Marcus Morris. They should be able to do better on the road than they have.
No. Tough schedule to start the year. Hayward's coming back from injury. We can't put high expectations on them, guys. It's okay. It's all right. Everybody calm down. You know, Brad's still trying to work out the rotations. It'll work itself out, right? Oh, the life of a Celtics fan. As you've said many times, Mike, on this show.
Never had a bad day.
Oh, boy. That must be a charmed existence. Everything's cool, man.
Even when they lose.
Right. Yeah, you find a way to make it a win.
It's like they won.
Yeah.
Like, if you all still think, Jaylen Brown does too, like you beat Cleveland last year. Like, that's how Celtics fans carry themselves. Like, they actually won that series.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. As far as Jaylen Brown's concerned, he already has a ring.
I mean, that was it. Just think of that. You're up 3-2 on LeBron. 3-2 series lead. You're a better team than Cleveland. Taking out, you know, I mean, the LeBron factor is obvious.
No, but they completely shoot themselves out of that game.
You are up 3-2 in the series. You're home for game 7. You're up 9, 10, 12 points in the first half. You lose that game in that series. And did that leave a half a mark on Celtics Nation?
Nope.
Does anyone mention it, go back to it, bemoan it? Like, oh, we were this close to the final. Does anyone even think about it anymore?
No. Not only did it not leave a mark, they puffed their chests out.
They think they won it. They act like they won it. If the Bruins had lost a series like that, we'd be talking about it for 30 years, and we'd still be pissed. Frank the Tank would still be going to the Bruins Wives Carnival and challenging people to fights over losing a series like that.
Oh, yeah. No, he'd be going through roommates like nobody's business.
And I don't care how many Belichick has went to 8 Super Bowls. We still hammer him for the way he handled the end of the 2015 season with the mortar kick and the game plan in Miami and blowing that game. He's won 5 championships, and we kill him for losing the 6th with the Malcolm Butler decision. Doesn't any other team in town, but the Celtics lose a series like that in a game 7 like that, and it's like no one even remembers. Oh, it's insane, you people. You've won 5 of your last 20 road games. Get at home in the postseason because you can't win on the road. Sorry for those facts. And they're all brought to you here on Agenda Free Friday by Planet Fitness. The world judges they don't. PlanetFitness.com. Tucker, Harvard kid, interning for Felger and Maz. I'd shoot a little higher, Tuck, just a little. Good Lord, kid.
He's going to go home for Thanksgiving break, and his parents are going to say, What
are you doing? What are we doing?
We're sending you there so you can be one of the future leaders of the free world. And you're doing what?
I'm hanging out with Felger.
Can I get a pizza, Maz?
You know, yeah, we did. We ordered off for lunch. Tucker says, yeah, can I get a slice of pizza?
This kid should be intern at some biotech firm or some aerospace giant. Like this, he should be a White House intern. He's interning at Felger and Maz, feeding me negative Celtic stats.
And eating
you're
pizza.
Welcome.
I mean, it was an excellent stat, and I thank you for it, believe me. But really, your parents must look at this and go, what have we done?
Seriously, yeah, this is why you sent me to Harvard.
You go to UMass to do this sort of stuff.
UMass?
You'd have
BU
for this
lower
crap.
Than that.
Bunker Hill, right, BU. One of those places. Good Lord.
Yeah, I'm Tucker. I go to Harvard. I have a BA in Felger and Maz.
Let me just do this, because this is so stupid. I have to take this before we go. Lennon Taunton, go. Lennon Taunton, his comment line says Rogers like Jay Cutler. Can we stop now?
Oh, that's silly.
Can we stop? Like that's getting stupid.
It's closer than you think.
Oh, see, don't feed it and don't provoke me like this. We're done for the day.
I mean, Jay Cutler's one of the great tool bags in league history.
Quitter, tool bag, complete loser.
I mean, to me, he's like, I think it was Zoe who made the analogy, or someone did. Jeff George. Like, Cutler is Jeff George, if you remember him.
Didn't Rodgers quit against the Patriots, or did I miss that?
He didn't quit. Like, he didn't leave the field like Jay Cutler.
In an NFC championship game.
Right.
No,
he throttled it down against the Patriots. I won't dispute that. But he ain't no Jay Cutler. Give me a break. So, we'll just end on that note. Final word comes your way next.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio, crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The callers bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 95, the Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
No one. So we just have a squeaky Maz put together by Hardy. It's always
fun this week.
Well, it's always fun when they're marked and I just can't figure it out what it is, because this one is labeled Squeaky Maz and Maz Alone.
Hold on.
I don't know what that could possibly be from the week.
What was Maz squeaky about this week?
Squeaky Maz
coming
and
off
Maz
the Tennessee
alone.
Game on Monday, right? Boy, that feels like a lifetime ago.
Maz Alone. Jimmy, can you give us a hint?
I think there was a battle with a caller.
Oh, I know what it is.
God, is this Danny Quincy from a couple weeks ago?
Well, let's find out.
This is turn it down.
Could be Allen in Florida.
Usually I tell you to turn it up. If this is the Danny and Quincy call, you may want to just turn it down. Stephen Bilirica, go ahead, please. Oh, Stephen Bilirica.
All right, this question is for Maz and Maz only, so Maz, don't look for help. Per order of Felger. Our number one receiver, Edelman, 32 years old, coming off of steroids and an ACL tear. Gordon, coming up with a hamstring and a hangover. Dorsett, who can't make the field for Indy. And Hogan, an average number three. A rookie running back coming off of multiple knee problems. Right? A patchwork offensive line with a blindside tackle for Brady. That's basically useless.
Oh, he's been good. Trent Brown's been good. I'm sorry, I'm jumping in.
Just go!
All right, sorry. Hear me out for the end. This is a question, multiple choice, for Maz and Maz alone.
Maz alone must answer now.
Has Brady overachieved to this point, or is he just that much better at the age of 41 than quarterbacks like Rodgers or anybody else in the league?
Okay, so you're asking two different questions, Steve. To this stage in his career, of course he's gone on longer than anybody thought he would. But at the same time, the way you rattle it off, he's playing out there with the scissors of the poor. So you're telling me Edelman's of no use to him? And Hogan's completely useless? Because I'll find you some comments where Hogan was open, according to Greg Bedard of Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal. So Hogan to me is at times should be a guy that he can go to. And did you see his third down throw to White yesterday on the side? White was open.
How about the slant to White on the first or second series where Brady threw it a yard?
Brady's not accountable for anything. Okay, that's all. In that guy's mind, Brady's untouchable. To which I would say, what are we even having the conversation for then? So I'm not telling you Brady's the biggest problem on the team. He wasn't good yesterday, though. There were a lot of bad throws, and you know what I'm going to do just for you? I am going to go online, look them all up, and we'll stick them on our Facebook page for you tomorrow, just so you can see them. How do you like that?
Steve.
All right, hear me out for the end. This is a question, multiple choice, but for Maz and Maz alone.
Just go!
Order of Felger.
Tremendous, Hardy. Thank you. He really captures the abject stupidity of this show. I mean, really.
Yeah, it's for Maz and Maz alone. I don't want anybody helping Maz.
All right.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.